took a road trip, you might just happen into Willow Creek, a suburban neighborhood in By Jove, North Carolina. If you happened to enter this neighborhood, you might ask someone where the main attraction of this area was. They would almost certainly tell you to head to the park and see the top of the league's little league baseball team, the Willow Creek Technics, playing a ball game. You would go and look, of course, but the field only had a coach pitch team doing ground ball drills. The Willow Creek Park not only has the best baseball teams, but it also has a creek. If you went down the path to the bridge, put on your water shoes, and entered the creek, you could take a short walk to a simple plank bridge. On the right side of the bridge were the Campbells. On the left were their best friends, the Brysons. If you went to visit the Brysons, 9-year-old Matthew would show you his newest pitch, probably a curveball or a changeup. 7-year-old Caleb would show you his invention, and 5-year-old Finley would tell you all about the highlights of her day. Matthew loved sports. He did well in school and enjoyed maths and reading, but he liked sports best. He played baseball, soccer, and touch football. Caleb was a scientist. His best friend was their dog, Sneaker, who helped him with his inventions. Finley was a cheerful kid. She played baseball, like Matthew, but liked to listen to Caleb talk about the finer points of his inventions. She liked it when she did things right, and she always wore her hair in pigtails. The three siblings lived with their parents, Anne and David, in a two-story house in Willow Creek. I am here to tell you about them. This is the Willow Creek Munch, Episode 1, Back to the Beginning. This morning, it was Monday. Monday was Anne and David's weekend, because the Brysons owned a restaurant. They spent Mondays catching up on chores and paperwork, and because it was summer vacation, all three kids were at home with them. At that moment, David was trying to round up the three kids for chores. "Matthew!" he called. "Matthew!" Caleb poked a head out of the door of the bedroom he shared with Matthew. He had a sparkle in his eye. His hair poked up in tufts where he had been running his hands through it. There was a pencil smudge on one cheek. "I think he hid it out behind the barn, Dad," he said. "Thanks, Caleb," said David. "You need to be downstairs in 5 minutes." "Right," said Caleb. "I'm just going to finish this drawing." Caleb wasn't drawing dinosaurs or monsters. He was sketching out another invention. He sat down on his bed beside his dog Sneaker and focused on the page. David went through the kitchen where Finley was sat at the dining room table, swinging her legs and singing softly to herself while she ate her cereal. He tugged one of her piggy tails. "Heya, Finn!" Finley grinned at her dad. "Daddy, what's a heya?" David chuckled. "Heya is a way to say hello, kiddo. Is Matthew outside?" "Yep." Finley spilled milk down his shirt as she shoved another bite of Fruit Loops into her mouth. As he passed into the backyard, he could hear a steady thump, thump, thump as he neared the barn. He rounded a corner and saw his oldest son, Matthew, winding up to pitch another baseball at the chalk outline on the brick wall of the barn. He waited until the ball made contact and Matthew hissed in triumph before he spoke. "Hey, kiddo." "Hey, Dad." "Pick up all those balls and get them in your bucket. It's time for a family meeting." "Oh, man." Matthew made a face but started to pick up the balls. David returned to the house. Once all three kids, David and Anne, were seated around the table with Sneaker by Caleb's feet, David spoke. "Okay, we have a bunch of things we need to do today, and we need to start outside before it gets too hot. Matthew, you need to get on with the mowing. The grass is getting high, and we don't want to need to have to worry about ticks and other pests. Finn, you're with me. We are going to do the weeding. Caleb, you'll be scrubbing the back deck. Anne, what are you going to be doing?" "Paperwork, pollinators, and plundering," said Anne, who had just been reading a book about pirates. Everyone turned to stare at her, and she grinned. "I have orders to do for the restaurant. The pollinator garden needs attention, and the raspberry bushes need to be cut back," she translated. "But the way I said it was more fun." Up and at 'em, troops. Everyone left the kitchen. Matthew grinned at Caleb as he passed with the lawnmower. Caleb looked up from his scrubbing to stick his tongue out at Matthew. Daddy, said Finley. Yes, Finn. Is this a weed or a vegetable? David came over to peer at the plant Finley pointed to. That is a dandelion, Finley. It's a weed and a vegetable at the same time. You can use the leaves for a salad when the plant is little, but it doesn't belong in our tomatoes, so right now it's a weed. Finley dug into the earth with her little trowel, carefully pulled the plant out, and set it in a bucket with the other weeds. She wasn't as fast as her daddy, but she liked to make absolutely sure she was pulling weeds and not vegetables. Finley liked it when she did things right. Also, she liked the tomatoes. Anne hummed while she filled up the birdbath in the center of the pollinator garden, and water splashed on the rocks. The bees from the beehives had lots of clover, but they also loved the black-eyed Susans and other flowers in the garden. She'd seen a few hummingbirds, too. She was looking forward to see what else visited her garden. Hot and tired, the family gathered again in the dining room table for lunch. Because David and Anne owned the Lifeline lunch counter, lunch was almost always leftovers. Today was roast beef sandwiches and carrot sticks with hummus. Hey, Mom, said Caleb. Yes, dear? How does the moon cut his hair? Caleb didn't wait for an answer. Eclipse it! Caleb dissolved into giggles and accidentally got some hummus on his glasses. David poked Finley in the side, and she started laughing so hard she snorted like a pig, and he gave herself the hiccups. Then Anne and Matthew caught each other's eyes and were set off. It took a while for things to calm down. After lunch, they all went to their rooms for a quiet time. Anne and David did grown-up restaurant stuff with computers and calculators. Finley played with her dollhouse and listened to an audiobook, while Matthew read a sports biography and Caleb sketched. The rest of the afternoon passed quickly as they played outside after their rest, and before they knew it, it was time for dinner. What's that, Dad? Asked Matthew as he stepped up onto the deck. Cream soda ice cream, said David, cranking the handle of the ice cream maker. No way! They're back! Yep, David grinned. Cream soda ice cream was the favorite dessert to share with their neighbors, the Campbells. The Campbells had been traveling in South America. Mrs. Campbell was an artist, and she liked to go with her husband and sons to visit great museums around the world each summer. They got back late last night and slept in. But you know what today is? Neighbor cookout! Yelled Finley. Cookout with the neighbors, corrected Caleb. We're gonna grill hot dogs, not Jake and Max. That evening, the Brysons put on their water shoes and waded down to the creek at the park. Matthew was carrying a bag of frisbees, squirt guns, foam footballs, and some other sports equipment. Anne carried paper plates, plastic utensils, and grilling supplies, along with ice cream, some meringues, whipped cream, and fresh-picked strawberries from their garden for dessert. David and Caleb carried hot dogs and hamburgers, lettuce, tomato, chili for the hot dogs, sliced onion, buns, and condiments. Finley carried the kickball. Sneaker strutted along behind Caleb, sniffing the water as he went. When they arrived, David started a small fire in the grill in the public pavilion, and Anne began setting out little stations with condiments and toppings for hot dogs and hamburgers. Caleb and Matthew turned the playscape into an obstacle course and used Anne's cell phone to time each other running through it. Caleb was very good at running up the slides, like the warped walls in Ninja Warrior. Matthew enjoyed the monkey bars. Finley liked watching her brothers from the swings. The Campbells arrived about 10 minutes later, bearing several large bags of potato chips. Dinner was ready at that point. Finley and Jake Campbell, who was her age, both ate hot dogs with ketchup and onions. Matthew and David had chili dogs. Anne, along with Jen and Mark Campbell, ate burgers with lettuce and tomato. Caleb and Max Campbell, who was 6 months younger than Matthew, ate the same burgers as Anne, Jen, and Mark, but added onions and put some of the potato chips that the Campbells had brought on top of the onion. After they ate their hot dogs, hamburgers, and chips, they had dessert. They each took several meringues and put strawberries and whipped cream on top. Then they all had David's homemade ice cream. After that, they took the kickball over to the field, where all of the kids, except Caleb, played baseball when the season was running. It was midsummer now, so there weren't any teams having practice or games on the ball field. They decided to play kids versus parents, with the parents kicking first. Matthew was bowling and David was kicking. He kicked the ball along the ground towards Caleb, who was playing first base. Caleb tagged him out, and it was Jen's turn. Jen kicked the ball in the outfield, and Max ran after it. Jen got to second base. The game went on, and Jen and Mike both scored. Jake made a very nice catch at second base and got Anne out. David kicked the ball to Jake, who threw it to Caleb. Caleb tagged his father out, and it was their turn to kick. Jake kicked first and was very excited when he kicked the ball into the outfield. His dad, who was playing third base, ran after it. Jake tripped a few feet shy of third and landed on the base. "Nice dive," Matthew said. Jake, who wasn't hurt and wasn't out, stood up and got ready to run. Matthew kicked the ball along the ground and got on first. Jake scored. Matthew got to third when Finley kicked the ball surprisingly hard into the outfield and she got a double. He then scored when Caleb got on first. Max kicked last. Max was always very good at the offensive side of sports, while Matthew was better defensively. Max was the cleanup on his team, batting fifth. He was one of those batters that could hit the ball so hard that it hit the fence on the fly. Max was also more reliable. He hit the ball like that every game. Max and Matthew both played for BYSA, By Jove Youth Soccer Association, but didn't play kickball as much as they would like. Max stood behind home plate and readied himself to kick. He sent the first ball skyrocketing through the air into the outfield. Max used all of the base running skills he'd learned from playing for the Technics, and he took off. Max rounded first base and headed for second. He turned around second base, running for third, and then turned at third. Max ran with all his might. He saw his mom standing on home plate waiting to receive the kickball from Anne, and he went down, bending one leg under the other, and his momentum carried him a long way. By the time Jen had the ball, Max was sitting on home plate, smiling at her. Jen smiled. "Good job, bud." They played for a little while longer before deciding that they should spend some time playing on the playscape, and with some of the things Matthew had brought before it was time to head home and get ready for bed. Finley and Jake went to the playscape to play pirates. They talked Anne and Mark into being the Navy, the pirates' enemies. David, Caleb, Matthew, and Max, and Jen got out the squirt guns Matthew had brought, along with a foam football. They decided the person with the foam football could not move and did not have a squirt gun. The person with the football had to wait until someone ran out of water. Then he would throw the football into the creek in front of that person, and he would get their squirt gun. They all forgot the rules at some point, but they enjoyed it all the same. Eventually, the day was over. They had a lot of fun and couldn't wait until they could play together again. The camp bell said that they would clean up since the bison's cooked. Matthew led the way back down the creek. The sun was setting, and they were all quite tired from running around at the park. When they got home, the kids all put on their pajamas and brushed their teeth. Matthew climbed the ladder to his bunk and turned on his reading lamp to read his book. Caleb lay down in the bunk below him and pulled the covers up to his chin to daydream about inventions he might create in the morning. David tucked Finley in and read her a bedtime story. Finley couldn't wait to read her own bedtime stories like Matthew and Caleb, but her reading wasn't very good and sometimes the longer words confused her. David read her a book about a bear who was scared to go into his first hibernation. The bear was scared that something would happen to him. "You have to remember, Roy," David read. "You are the bear. I am the bear. Your brothers and sisters are the bears. No one can stand up to us." And just like that, Roy wasn't scared to go into the cave for winter. "I like that story," said Finley. "That mama bear isn't afraid of anything." "Everyone's afraid of something, Finley," David told her. "But you don't have to worry about that right now. You should go to sleep. You ran out of energy at that cookout." "It was really fun," Finley grinned at her dad. "Can we do it again?" "In a few weeks. I bet you're excited to play with Jake tomorrow." Finley grinned. "I am excited. We're going to have fun. Can we take him and Max to a new park downtown?" David nodded. "Jen and Mark have an exhibition. That's like a fair where people share art on Thursday. We can take them then." "Okay." Finley and her brothers had gone to the park downtown and really enjoyed it. David stood up. "Good night, Finn. Kayla will be here in the morning tomorrow, and you'll go over to the camp bells right before lunch. Kayla was the Bryson sitter. She came over during the mornings in the summer when Anne and David were at the restaurant. Finley, Caleb, and Matthew really liked her. She always had fun activities for them. She would bring a different scavenger hunt every time she came over. When David turned out the light, Finley fell asleep, very excited for the morning when she could play with Jake again.
This is story time. I'm Mrs. Campbell, and today I'm telling you the story, Billy Goes to Grandma's House. Billy was a little boy. He had a wide smile and very white teeth with a gap in between them. He had dark eyes, and he loved to visit his grandma's house. Grandma lived on a farm, and there was so much to do there. She had so many animals. She had a little gray kitten with a pointy tail. Billy loved to take a piece of yarn from Grandma's knitting basket and drag it along the floor. That little kitten would chase the yarn and pounce on it. Grandma had a big brown dog. That dog would run for hours in the fields with Billy. Billy would pick up sticks and throw them as far as he could, and that big brown dog would chase them and bring them right back for Billy to throw again and again. Grandma had a white goat. She taught Billy how to milk the goat. Billy didn't much like the taste of the goat milk, but it was fun to do the milking. Grandma had a big pink pig. It looked just like a giant piggy bank. Billy loved to watch the pig play in the mud, and when Grandma wasn't watching, Billy would scratch the pig behind her ears. The pig thought that was fantastic. Grandma had a nice spotted horse. He was very gentle. Billy fed him carrots and pieces of apple. Grandma let him ride the horse around the corral. Billy just loved to play with these animals all day long. But at night, there was some trouble at Grandma's house. Grandma lived in an old house. It was creaky. The wind rattled the windows. Billy's room was upstairs, and the steps made weird noises. And the door to Billy's room sounded really scary. Creak! At bedtime, Grandma would walk Billy up the stairs, tuck him in, tell him a story, kiss him goodnight, and ask him, "Billy, will you be afraid tonight?" Billy would answer, shaking his head, "No, not me." Grandma would turn off the light, close the door, creak, and Billy would yell in a very scared voice. Then Grandma opened the door. "Billy, we've had a very big day and we need to get some sleep. Just for tonight, I'm going to let the kitten sleep here with you." And Grandma went down to the basket by the stove and picked up the kitten and carried it up the stairs and put it on Billy's bed. She tucked them in and told them a story, kissed them goodnight, and asked Billy, "Billy, will you be afraid tonight?" Billy answered, "No, not me." Grandma turned off the light, closed the door, creak, and the kitten cried a very frightened meow, and Billy yelled. Grandma opened the door. "Billy, we've had a very big day and we need to get some sleep. Just for tonight, I'm going to let the dog sleep here with you." Grandma went downstairs to the rug by the fireplace and she picked up the dog. She carried it up the stairs and put it on Billy's bed. She tucked them in, told them a story, kissed them goodnight, and asked Billy, "Billy, will you be afraid tonight?" And Billy answered, "No, not me." Grandma turned off the light, closed the door, creak, the dog barked, the kitten meowed, and Billy yelled. Grandma opened the door. "Billy, we've had a very big day and we need to get some sleep. Just for tonight, I'm going to let the goat sleep here with you." And the grandma went out to the barn to get the goat. She picked it up and carried it up the stairs and put it on Billy's bed. She tucked them in, told them a story, kissed them goodnight, and asked, "Billy, will you be afraid tonight?" Billy answered, "No, not me." Grandma turned off the light, closed the door, creak, and the goat baaed, and the dog barked, and the kitten meowed, and Billy yelled. Grandma opened the door. "Billy, we've had a very big day and we need to get some sleep. Just for tonight, I'm going to let the pig sleep here with you." Grandma went out to the pigsty and picked up the pig, carried it up the stairs and put it on Billy's bed. She tucked them in, told them a story, kissed them goodnight, and asked, "Billy, will you be afraid tonight?" Billy answered, "No, not me." Grandma turned off the light, closed the door. Creak! The pig, the goat, bah! The dog barked and the kitten meowed. Billy yelled. Grandma opened the door and said, "Billy, we've had a very big day and we need to get some sleep. Just for tonight, I'm going to let the horse sleep here with you." Grandma went out to the corral and picked up the horse. She carried it up the stairs and put it on Billy's bed. She tucked them in, told them a story, kissed them goodnight, and asked, "Billy, will you be afraid tonight?" "No, not me." So she turned out the light and closed the door. The horse neighed, the pig honked, the goat baaed, the dog barked, the kitten meowed, and Billy yelled. And then, crash! The bed broke and Billy and all the animals fell on the floor. Crash, bang, oof, smash, ow! Grandma opened the door. She picked up the horse and carried it back to the corral. She picked up the pig and carried it back to the sty. She picked up the goat and carried it back to the barn. She picked up the dog and carried it back to the rug in front of the fireplace. She picked up the kitten and carried it back to the basket by the stove. She took Billy by the hand and led him to the kitchen table. She sat him down and gave him 2 cookies and a glass of milk. She got out her toolbox and went upstairs and fixed the bed. In the toolbox, she found a can of oil. She oiled the hinges on the door to Billy's room. She put away her toolbox and took Billy by the hand and led him back upstairs. She tucked him in, told him a story, kissed him goodnight, and asked, "Billy, will you be afraid tonight?" And Billy answered, "No, not me." She turned off the light and closed the door with nothing but a quiet click. And the horse and the pig and the goat and the dog and the kitten and grandma and Billy all slept very well and had wonderful dreams.